Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Luke 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Even if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times returns to say, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord answered, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Which of you, whose servant comes in from plowing or shepherding in the field, will say to him, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? Instead, won't he tell him, 'Prepare my meal and dress yourself to serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was told? So you also, when you have done everything commanded of you, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one of the villages, he was met by 10 lepers. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, shouting, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they were on their way, they were cleansed. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He fell face down at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving to him, and he was a Samaritan. "Were not all 10 cleansed?" Jesus asked. "Where then are the other 9? Was no one found except this foreigner to return and give glory to God?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." When asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God will not come with observable signs, nor will people say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For you see, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to the disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'Look, there he is,' or 'Look, here he is.' Do not go out or chase after them. For just as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so will be the Son of Man in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let no one on the housetop come down to retrieve his possessions. Likewise, let no one in the field return for anything he has left behind. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, 2 people will be in one bed. One will be taken, and the other left. 2 women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left." "Where, Lord?" they asked. Jesus answered, "Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather." This is God's word. Leprosy was a horrible disease to contract in the days that Jesus lived on this earth. In order to keep from infecting other people, Lepers had to live alone, away from society and, of course, from their own families. If they came near anyone else, they had to warn them by calling out loud, "Unclean!" If you contracted leprosy, your family would never touch you again, and the only human companionship you'd ever know again was from other lepers. Lepers would watch parts of their bodies rot away and fall off until eventually they died. So you can understand why lepers were so eager to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, according to verse 13, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" Instead of making new skin out of mud, or laying his hands on them, or even waving his hands toward them, Jesus just told the lepers to find a priest and have him check their skin. Now, that was required by the Old Testament law for someone who wanted to be readmitted to society after having a concerning skin problem that eventually cleared up. Between verses 14 and 15, these lepers were healed. In verse 14b, they expressed faith in Jesus' word by obediently turning to find a priest, just like Jesus told them to do. But according to verse 15, it took a few moments before they actually realized that they had been healed. Of the 10 men who were healed of leprosy by Jesus, only one of them returned to thank Jesus, as we saw in verse 16a. And he was less than subtle about it. According to verses 15b and 16a, when he saw that he was healed, praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus and thanked him. This is the kind of response I would expect from anyone towards someone who not only just saved and extended your life, but made it possible to return to your family and friends. But of all the men Jesus healed, one alone gave glory to God and thanks to Jesus. And to top it all off, the Bible tells us, he was a Samaritan. That continued a pattern in Jesus' life of being received best by outsiders. Jesus made a point of highlighting that only 10 of the cleansed lepers gave thanks to him and glory to God for their cleansing. Jesus' point is one that we should consider as well. People frequently ask others to pray for them, but in my experience, at least, people rarely give glory to God when the prayer is answered. Furthermore, genuine thankfulness is in scarce supply in our world. We should serve God by serving others in love without expecting to be thanked, but thankfulness is a trait of godliness. You can see Colossians 2:7, Colossians 3:15, and Colossians 3:17 for just a few examples to prove that. Do you live a thankful life? Do you notice when God answers your prayers, and then do you give God praise and glory for the answer to prayer? Do we thank his servants, his children, when they are good to us? These are habits of a godly life. Is there someone in your life that you should thank today? Make a phone call to that person today and let them know how much you appreciate what they've done in your life. And don't forget to thank God in prayer for his goodness to you. We all have problems in our lives, and there are plenty of problems in the world. But we don't have leprosy. We do have what we need, and the current crisis that's got us so shaken up probably will pass. Let's be thankful for how God is providing for us and for his promise to keep providing for us as long as he wills. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and enter your email address there to receive a free email subscription to these devotionals. And please consider supporting me financially if you can. Go to dailypbj.com/support to do that. And please share this with someone else. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.